Go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Genesis 1 as we begin here. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. I want to ask you a question real quick. What do you think of when you hear a word progressive or progress, or maybe progress? Anybody want to say anything? What do you think of when you hear progressive? Yes. Oh, he says not good. Oh, he thinks liberal. Okay. So he's thinking political. Okay, so going forward, that's a more general definition, right? Right. Okay, so you could think good things because you progress. You could think bad things because people hijack progress and make it worse. You can think positive or you could think negative. It's weird how this one word can be both a good thing or a bad thing at the same time, or in our minds have a conflicting feeling about a word. New or old, maybe they could be calling something progress when people have already been there before, so they're not really progressing towards anything. They're regressing, right? You could be thinking maybe it's better we're progressing, or maybe you're thinking it's going to be worse if we progress because we can progress towards something bad. You could say forward, or you could even say backward. You can progress backwards. Technically, right? Think about it. It's regressing, yeah. But if I turn backwards and I start progressing that way, that's backwards, right? So in Webster 1828, this is an old definition, but we'll look at it. Progressive, they have here moving forward, proceeding onward, advancing, progressive motion or course. Improving is one of the definitions that he gives here. Improving is given as a definition of progressive. Progress, if you look at the word progress, moving or going forward, so kind of what we were saying there. If you think in general terms, the word progress, we're making progress on some task we're working on. Moving forward in growth, like plants, they progress, they have a progression. Maybe a business is progressing. So there's a lot of different, we have definitions here of progressing. That it can be used as a verb or an adjective. You can progress, or you can be making progress, so it could be a noun. The title of the message is The Progressive Christian, but we're going to look at the world's progress first. But let me try to make sure I'm not losing my place here. I meant to print this out, but I'm going to have to swipe up and down on this little screen here just to try to make it work. So one example I have of the progress being contradictory, a couple of examples, maybe you can think of some. I thought of this. A car mechanic who's building cars or maybe working on cars, he's adding parts to cars. Or a car mechanic in like the car shop that when they first were making and manufacturing a car, they're building up these cars. They're adding to them and making them work. A mechanic in a junkyard is actually doing the exact opposite. He's breaking the cars down and they're not working anymore. Now maybe he has a goal, but either way, both of them in their job is progressing towards some goal. They're both making progress. So the guy who's making a car, he's progressing towards a car being built. The guy who's at the junkyard is making progress towards breaking down this vehicle, maybe selling the parts off or using parts for other cars. So you can see how both of their jobs are both seen as progress, but they're literally doing the exact opposite of each other. Another one, it would be like maybe a medic, someone who tries to heal somebody, versus a mercenary, someone who's paid to kill people. There's a progress. They're both making progress in somebody's mind. Somebody's thinking, hey, I am accomplishing something and working towards my end goal. So they're progressing, though it results in someone dying, maybe. Or a medic or a nurse is progressing towards helping somebody to live. Another one was a construction worker, right? He's building things, building buildings, versus the demolition guy. He's tearing stuff down. He's just having a heyday, right, over there, tearing down buildings. So it's just interesting how you think about they're both making progress. They're both doing something, but they're completely the opposite. One, in this case, was building up a building, the other one is destroying it. So let's look at Genesis 1, and I want to look at God's progress here and the progression of God, and then we'll get into the message. This is sort of more of an introduction here. If you look in Genesis 1, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. If you look down here, let's keep moving down. Let's see. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So he called the light, what do you call it? Light was good. God, right, separated light from the darkness, he called it good. If you keep going down, I'll try to find a couple of these, where God, everything God makes, at the end, it's good, right? I'm kind of missing my place here, where God calls it good. From heaven. Where is it? Verse 10? Yeah, verse 10, okay. And God called the dry land and the earth and gathering together the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, so several times throughout this passage, verse 25, we'll move faster. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind. So he's making all these things. Some things he's creating new, some things he's forming from other things he created. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God creates man in his own image, down in verse 27. And then keep going on. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon which the face of the earth, all the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. And then we know God rests on the seventh day. So this is God's progress that he made for this world system that we have. He forms the earth and he creates all these things. And you see it's very good, good, good. All these things that God is making is good. And he puts man in the garden, right? And he puts man in there, tells man to take care of the garden. And then what does man end up doing with what God made that was good? God said, "You can eat of anything. If you have any tree that God's made, but don't eat of this one tree." That's the only thing they were told not to do. And man ended up doing it. If you look back down in chapter 3, Genesis 3, and verse number, this is after they had eaten it, verse number 12, actually we'll go back to verse 10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." This is God, Adam talking to God. "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." This is Adam speaking to God. "And I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree thereof, whereof I commanded thee not, that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And verse 19, In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And if you read down in 23, And therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Eden garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so then, God ends up killing a lamb, and it makes the coats of skins to cover them, and he had to kill an animal in order to make the coats of skins. So God had started out in his progress of creating this world, he created things that were very good, and he created this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were supposed to not eat of this tree. Obviously, then they eat of the tree, and they go against God's progress that he had made, and he told them to replenish the earth, and they obviously did not do that. They chose to sin before following God's orders. And so God's work that he had started, man ended up destroying it and working against God's progress. So man, at this point now, has given the power, and we know now the god of this world is Satan. He's given the reins over to the devil. If you go over to Ecclesiastes 7:29, let's look over there real quick. So man ends up ruining or destroying and bringing about a curse onto the ground, what God had established, what God had started, something that was very good. Let me see if I can get over here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. This is a good verse for Calvinists. Chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. So man was made upright, right? God saw everything he had made was very good. But they have sought out many inventions. Man, with his own free will, chose to go against God's will and against God's progress that he had made on this earth, the things that he had established and built. And if you turn down to 2 Corinthians chapter... Go to Luke 4. Let's see, sort of lay the groundwork, but see what man has done to what God created. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that he be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Number 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. That's all it took, was just a moment of time to show him all the kingdoms of this world. I heard a preacher talk about how much the world has to offer can just be shown in a moment of time. The world has nothing to offer us. In a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And the devil said unto him, verse 6, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. This is Satan speaking. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and all shall be thine. All shall be thine. So apparently, from this verse right here, Satan's saying it, but we have other passages to back this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he's called the god of this world. He has the power over all these kingdoms of this world. They're delivered unto him, and he can give it to whoever he wants. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. He was telling Jesus, I'm gonna give them to you if you just worship me. But Jesus knew he was going to get him anyways. After he rose from the dead, all power was given to him in heaven and earth. So we know Satan now, according to this passage and according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he's the god of this world, prince of the power of the air. He has control over this world system that Adam and Eve had started in the beginning when they chose to sin against God. They gave that power over to Satan. God had given them the dominion over the earth, and they gave it right up to Satan. And now you see Satan is the god of this world. So go over to John 10 real quick. John chapter 10. And verse number 10. I'm going to read for sake of time. We'll go to verse 9. I am the door, Jesus speaking. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, for steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So you can see that the thief, in here we can say, is Satan, being his focus being completely opposed to God's focus. God's will is to give us life and life more abundant, and Satan came to kill and steal and destroy. So now the world system will be set up if we just pay attention, and I'm going to go through some of the world's progress, what the world calls their progress, and how, in reality, you know, it's just resulting in people dying and stealing or being destroyed. We're going to move into the hopefully the actual message now. That was more of like an intro. So what progress would we say the world has made? They would probably speak to maybe, oh, look, we have the internet. We have all this information right at our fingertips that we can gather. Anything that we ever wanted to know, you could just Google it, right? That's the phrase. Google says, or we'd say in Spanish, Google dice. We would look up Google and find out whatever we want to know. We can call somebody on the phone from across the world and talk to them on the phone, right? We can turn on the television and watch images that are not actually, it's not right happening right in front of us, but it's the image of something coming from somewhere else. It might even be three-dimensional image. Maybe I can even somehow interact with the image through virtual reality or something. We have radio, which was a big advancement. Electricity, you might say, or engines, some more basic ones that we have discovered. These would be, I think, defined as progress or progress of man. But man always finds out somehow to make these things be used for wicked purposes. I mean, just think of all those things that we mentioned that you can think about that man's created. And man has found a way to pervert it. And the perversion is the way that people make money off of it. I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl commercials, not that I watch Super Bowl, but the halftime show, I don't even watch any of that stuff, but everything that they glorify is sexuality or something that's shoved in our faces that is wickedness, because that's what makes people money, because it's consistent with the world system, right? Anything that promotes sin, promotes some horrible acts, or you know, things that you wouldn't even want to think about that was happening, is shoved in our faces on television, on news, shoved, pops up wherever they can find you. That's why if you can stay away as much as you can from internet or TV, just to get out of that and get into the Word of God and get around people, then at least you won't be inundated with this constant floodingness of sin and the world shoving in our faces. It's like they can't just have their system and have fun. They have to make it a part of your life and a part of everybody else's life. This is the world, because the focus of the world is to kill, steal, and to destroy. And we know that Satan, being the god of this world, is going to try to push that onto us. So let's turn over to Amos chapter 8. Just think about what's happened in Amos chapter 8. Think about what's happened over the last few years, just that we've seen some headlines, preachers being arrested in other countries, maybe even here, actually, in California, which you might call another country, churches being closed down in America, not just in another country, churches being closed down, maybe even burnt down, or trying to be burnt down even, the Bible being condemned as hate speech, whatever that means, right? Because they don't care about what God thinks is hateful, they just care about what they think is hateful, right? It's whatever's hateful is whatever they don't like, and so we're going to call the Bible hate speech now, and so we can ban it and we can arrest you for it. That's the focus of the hate speech. Any laws regarding hate speech is so we can't go out on the side of the road and preach the gospel, because they can just say hate speech, and then you get thrown in jail. Christians murdered. I just saw a headline where this happens. It seems like it happens every so often, where they're in other countries where maybe they don't have access to defending themselves as readily, but these gangs or whatever groups of people will just come in and just kill a bunch of Christians in churches because they don't like them. And maybe it's Muslim groups or something, but they don't like them and they wipe them out. So this is what's happening to Christians and to the Bible and to churches and preachers all across the world, and even in our country here. Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. In that day, is it? Oh, I'm on. Yeah, sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I've heard this verse a few times in the past, saying like, it's like God's word won't be anywhere. But I was reading it again, and if you read it carefully, it says, So the famine is of hearing the words of the Lord, not necessarily the words of the Lord. So maybe the words of the Lord are there, but nobody wants to hear it, or maybe nobody is hearing it because there's no preaching of it. But either way, no one's hearing the words of the Lord. And if you think about, if you apply this to today, how much has God's word been pushed from people's minds because they don't want to hear the words of the Lord? They don't want to hear the words of the Lord anymore. No one's hearing the words of the Lord. And then so Christians have said, oh, well, it's not popular anymore. Let's just not do it anymore, right? Gone from schools. The Bible is gone from schools, right? I read one place for 63, maybe 62, or even the 50s, they were trying to get it out of schools. Removed from schools. Maybe your kids can bring it, but even then, I've heard of kids being getting in trouble for reading their Bible in schools in America. You don't have... now, in think about the legal system, in court systems, they don't. If you watch any of the proceedings they have, they don't put their right hand on the Bible, and you know, they don't have the Bible there anymore. Just hold your right hand. Just hold your hand up. Swear you in. They removed the Ten Commandments. That was from out front of the courts, right? Bible gone from our court system, from our legal system, justice. The Bible has been removed from society. You just see no talk of the Bible on TV in any meaningful way. Not in any portion, not in schools or not in stores or any place where you'll see people. If they have anything about the Bible, they're usually mocked or they're usually attacked in some way. So society, it removed from our culture. It's no longer popular. People are no longer. There's no culture promotion of a culture around the scriptures, right? It's actually culturally acceptable and culturally promoted to demean people who read the Bible and believe the Bible in some way, right? And now it's socially unacceptable to carry your Bible. So yeah, even just carrying it around in public, people probably look at you weird, right? Reading it in public, even at work, you know, it's shunned at work as well. You're weird, or they might say things about you or something, or maybe you'll get in trouble even at work. I'm not sure. I haven't heard of anybody getting in serious trouble at work about it, but if you just keep that in mind, Amos 8:11, there's the famine of hearing. It seems like that's what the world's wanting. They just don't want to hear it. Now, Pastor mentioned this morning, though, or it was Micah, but I think it was Pastor, about the Bible. Just if you didn't have the Bible, if it was just gone, and you know, do you have any of it memorized to take with you? And that's a serious thought there. I mean, definitely you've seen their actions, the world's actions, at least in our country, has been to remove it. So they've done everything they can, and I think they'll continue to try more and harder, push harder to go against God and against His Word. The next point, if you go to Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, under this is the world's progress. What we're reading. Forgot to give that. The world's progress. And we'll look at the world's progress first, then we'll look at modern church, and then we'll look at the progressive Christian, the God's progress. Jeremiah chapter 32. And this is Brother John. Brother Jonathan preached a real good sermon on Baal. And mentioned this, I think, in throughout his sermon, Jeremiah 32, verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, there's so many verses on killing, you know, babies or killing children, sacrificing them to gods, or just, you know, just killing them. There's the one where the mother like ate the child, the two moms ate a child or something, and then they were going to eat the other kid, and the mom is complaining about it. I mean, there's just some sick stuff. And you see in our society what has happened. It started with safe, legal, and rare, right? Killing children, and that's bad enough. Safe, legal, and rare. But at least at that point, people recognized that they didn't want it to happen. At least they claimed. Well, we don't want it to happen, but if it does, has to happen, let's just make sure it's safe and it's legal and it's rare. Okay. But now, they're just saying, you know, outright, my body, my choice. And now people have different opinions on this, but I think the scripture is clear, but they pushed the line so far that babies are being born on a table, and they're having to have discussions. I don't even want to even think about what happens. But this world has pushed. You just see the direction that this world has gone, and especially in this regard, and it's just so blatantly, they don't care about murder, they don't care about death. The thief comes not before, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So this is part of that of the world system and what the world wants to push onto us. And I think Brother Michael gave the statistics on how many children have died over the years, and so we see from the scriptures where that originates from, and where it comes from is from the world. And every time the Jews got away from God and they started seeking after these other gods, they ended up just started killing their children. I mean, so this is the world's progress. That's progressive in the world's eyes. Something that destroys lives and is progressive somehow. Just put that in perspective. This is what people see as progress, and it's hijacked this word that we would normally associate with a good thing, that we are growing, we're lifting up, we're inching towards some better state. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and Romans 1. Start at 1 John first. And 1 John chapter 4. Yeah. Oh, we also saw in the Bible where they were just outright killing the children under two, and I think, I don't know what the age was. I think it was the same age as Pharaoh. Was it two when they tried to kill the babies in Egypt? I can't remember. It was under two and under as well there. So Pharaoh tried to kill a bunch of these children after they're 2 years old and under, and Herod as well. Herod tried to kill the children as well, but Pharaoh and Herod both did that. I'm going to move on to talk about love. 1 John 4, 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 John 4, 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Turn to Romans 1. So love is of God. God is love. This world has taken God's love and turned it into a word that doesn't even mean anything, and in the name of progress, promoted, you know, sodomy and just the worst kinds of things you'd even want to think about this stuff. Romans 1. Let's see. Romans 1. This is talking about, so in verse, if you go back to verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation world are clearly seen, being understood. Oh, let's go to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, right? This is ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's the context here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has given them something, right? They know it. They have something that God has given them. God knows they exist. They know God exists. For the invisible things of him from the creation world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see how this starts? Unthankfulness. But became vain in their imaginations. There's a lot of vain imaginations going on today. And their foolish heart was darkened. Why are they foolish? Because they're denying those things that they already know to be true. They're saying, I know this, but I don't believe it anymore. It's foolish, right? The fool has said in his heart there is no God when he knows God exists. Verse number 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now starts the downward progression. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also... So they're already praising and glorifying animals. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lusts one toward another, disgusting, men with men, working that which is unseemly, the Bible says it, unseemly, it's a good word, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So that's a lot there to take in, but you see this progression of starting with just being unthankful to God, and they're given over to these lusts that they want to call love, because love is love. But God has defined love. God is love, the Bible says. Love is not, God is love, right? And love is of God, right? So you can't love without God. If there was no God, there is no love. They have stolen from God this word, the word love, and used it to attribute it to their own lust for one another. Sodomy has been the first one that was shoved in people's faces, and it's promoted, and it's fine. People have the choice to do it. But it's one thing to say, okay, someone can do these things. It's another thing to say, you have to praise it, and you have to shout it from the rooftops. You have to, you know, promote our ideology, our world way of saying what love is. Men with men working that which is unseemly. You have to praise that. No one's forcing them to praise God. We're telling you, you should praise God because God is worthy of our praise. They're pushing this stuff in our faces, but it didn't stop there. This was a while back when they started these things, right? I probably wasn't even born when they started trying to promote this in our country. Sodomy, and then it now got to the point where if love is love, then if someone loves an animal, well, maybe they can just marry the animal. And people literally are marrying animals. They're doing that. They're marrying animals. And then now they're trying to make pedophilia, which is a good thing, make it seem like it's not so bad. They're trying to change what they're called to minor attracted persons. So, oh, they're just attracted to, you know, minors. No, this is sick. You know, but this is progress. This is progress. The world calls this stuff progress. Love is love. Where does it stop at that point, right? I mean, when you break what God calls love and you could say, okay, whatever someone loves is a good thing, then this is what you end up with. You end up with these horrible things happening in this world, these sickos, you know, getting power and shoving their ideology onto people. But it's called progress. We read Genesis 1. Genesis 1:27 says God made them male and female. Go to our fourth point. God made them male and female. Jesus said, turn to Matthew 19. Don't take my word for this. This is what Jesus said. Running out of time. Matthew 19. In verse number 4. Actually, we'll go back to 3. The Pharisees also, number 3, 19:3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Verse number 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's how he made them. People can argue with it. You can deny it. Maybe you can make up other words. That's fine. But this is the words we use in the English language. We use male and female to describe the two genders, the two sexes that are out there. And that's just what God says. And the world has started, and I'm not saying this is the wrong thing. Maybe women's rights, they push women's rights, which is, okay, it's not bad. Women should be able to do what men are able to do. But to force women into a role that is contrary to how God established what was best for them, the same with men, what was best for them, when we force people into roles rather than showing them, hey, God has this plan set up for a husband and a wife, for a man and a woman, and He established it a certain way, it will work out the best when you follow that plan. I don't think there's any problem with, I don't think anybody has a problem with a woman voting versus a man voting. I'm just saying, God said that there's established way, and now women regret maybe not being able to have children, or not having had children in older ages. You can hear testimonies of women talking about feeling bad about, you know, they got their, you know, they got their job, and they're making money for themselves, but now, you know, they're not satisfied. God had them in a certain, has women in a certain place in the scriptures, because that's what brings them joy and brings, and if you please God and show, and you follow God's plan, you'll have joy, right? But this led to eventually now you have men can be women and women can be men, right? That's just what they say. There's gender is different than sex is, whatever does that even mean? So they can just make up this word. I think Brother Micah mentioned this morning, and say, okay, we're going to hijack this word and this woman, and we're going to just make it mean nothing, absolutely nothing. So we can't even define what it is. So we're marching for what? For women? But what are women? Well, we don't know what women are. And so now this word doesn't mean anything. So what does it even mean to be transgender? What does that even mean? Because what is a man and what is a woman? So what they've done is just caused confusion in our society, caused confusion in the world. And God's not the author of confusion, that's of the devil. So we see this is somehow progress to cause confusion and to destroy our language. That's progress. Now you have, apparently you can just make up your pronouns. You can just do that. That's fine. I guess you can make up words. People have made up words all the time. You can make up words now and just call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. I read, apparently, there's a pronoun where your pronoun changes whenever the other person has a different pronoun. So, like, if you have a different pronoun, my pronoun's going to change. What is this nonsense anymore? What are we even talking about? There's demon pronouns. There's cat pronouns. There's all these other... What's the point of this? You're just having fun with words now, I guess? Just having fun? It's just nonsense and it's confusion. They attack the language. Similar, you know, it's funny that they attacked words, similar to the attack on God's word, right? What is the Satan attack? He attacked God's word, right? Yea hath God said, and he attacked God's word when he spoke to Jesus Christ when he was tempting him. They attacked the words that we're using every day to just destroy our society. Just everything crumbles so that way they can get their progress, I guess. This is seen as progress. And then you're left with, in Texas, drag queen family night. What is it? So this is progress. This world. I don't even want to even. There's just some sick stuff that this world has done, and it's being shoved in our faces, pushed onto children, and even if it's illegal stuff, the cops aren't even doing anything about it. There's the climate portion. The world's going to be destroyed. You know, I haven't been here for, I've only lived for 27 years, but apparently throughout all the 20th century, you periodically you'd have, oh, there's going to be an ice age, we're all going to die, or there's going to be this, we're all going to die, or 2000 was supposed to be something, apparently. I was too young to remember that. And so every so often there's something that's going to kill us all and we're all going to die, you need to do something to change this. And there's a couple of stories that just recently happened. This is like this year. A climate activist, this is the headline, dies after setting himself on fire at Supreme Court. This is the New York Times. And it says motive was unclear. He's a climate activist. Apparently there's something seriously wrong with this guy, but he sets himself on fire and kills him. Another one just recently happened, I think a week ago. A girl ties herself to a tennis net. She's tied herself to a tennis net at the French Open during a semifinal, and she had a shirt on that said, "We have 28 days left." So apparently we have, oh no, sorry, 1,028 days. We have 1,028 days left, apparently. So if you didn't know, we have 1,028 days left, apparently. I don't know what left for what. She didn't really say any, like, until maybe Santa comes the third time. I don't know. I don't know what she's waiting for. But we already know the Bible says that God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, right? The old world is going to be done. So what I'm not for. I don't think any of us are for going around just littering, and causing trying to destroy things. We're not going around like, oh look, I'm just destroying this earth on purpose. But I'm not gonna be scared that the earth's gonna be destroyed, because Jesus Christ is still gonna come, and he's still gonna reign for 1,000 years, and still gonna create a new heaven and a new earth. So to say that it's gonna, we have 1,028 days left. If she's talking about the earth, well, she's obviously wrong. She's just denying the scripture. She doesn't even probably know what the scripture says, I guess. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Turn to 2 Timothy. I don't know if I'm going to get to the progress of the Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2, actually. I heard the 3 back there. I might get to that one later. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 216, actually. Did you have the wrong one? Maybe you're right. I wrote it down wrong. You're right. It is 316. Wait, what? Oh, no. I'm in 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2, yes, right there. We can read 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's read that, and we'll go down to 16. Study, I like this verse, to show thyself approved unto God. That's what we're trying to do here. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse number 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase, it sounds like progress, unto more ungodliness. So yeah, they're going to increase. They're going to grow. They're going to have some progress, but it's going to be to more ungodliness. It's going to be more profanity, more just vain babblings. Okay, the pronoun thing, that's just vain babblings. What are we doing here? Okay, I would even lump evolution into that, just vain babblings. There's none that makes sense. Yeah. So there is growth. There's a growth of sin, a growth of lies, growth of chaos, growth of destruction, a growth of confusion, growth of wickedness, and growth of death. So there's progress, if you want to call it that. In 2 Timothy 3:13 talks about an increase in deception. But evil men, verse number 13, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this. Maybe we'll save the rest of it for next time. But that's the world's progress. That's what the world sees as progressing. The modern church, they have their own progress, and it lines right in with the world. I'll just skim through this real quick and look at it maybe another time. They removed the Bible, just like the world. There are no more gospel preaching. The world doesn't want that. No more hymn singing. No more sin and hell talked about. But they're growing. Look at the one that's named after a tree. They're growing. They got a lot of numbers, but you go in there, it's just a concert. They got some nice fancy lights. They got some cool smoke screen stuff. It looks just like the world, but they're growing, and that's right in line with the world's progress. But God's progress, and I think we'll get this next time. Is the progress, if you want to say morality, right? If we say like, okay, what's moral mean? What's good and bad mean? People try to make morality something moral, like what's good for me isn't necessarily good for you, or I'd say that's right, or but this is because it's my moral truth or something. They try to make things relative to themselves and make them the God of this world. They're trying to make themselves their own God when they say, oh, I have my own morals, I have my own truth. In the same way, you could say, well, I have my own progress, I have my own progression and growth. Well, no, true progress is in line with God and God's word. And that's why we should do it, just like morality. Morality is relative to God. God's the one who sets the standard for right and wrong. God is the God of truth. He tells us what is true and what is false. So we have a truth, and it's the truth. There's only one truth. There's not more truths. There's not one. There's not a bunch of moralities. There's only one. And there's only, in this case, we're talking about progress. There's only one true progress that should be made, that we should be focusing on, and that's growing in Christ. And so we'll look at some of the verses later Just want you to just think about, you know, just progress in the world, and just keep what the world's progress, keep it in mind that, hey, just because something is seen as progressive or progressing, you know, in any way, maybe some of them are more obvious than others, but some people can make things sound good and sound like it's growing and increasing, but that doesn't necessarily mean it is good. We need to test it with the Scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Scriptures discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we need to use the Scriptures to discern others' thoughts and intents of their heart, and also ours as well. So.